Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 International Film Festival and Awards Macau. And joining me for the next 10 minutes or so is Noah Cowan. Thank you very much for joining us, first of all.
Pleasure to be here.
Let me see if I can do a short introduction for you and to start us off. Well, you've worn many hats in the film industry throughout your career, but most recently you stepped down as director of SF Film, which is the non-profit organization behind San Francisco's largest film festival. That's just to give an idea. But also you're here as part of the jury for the new Chinese cinema competition. Is this your first time in Macau?
It's actually my first time in Macau, although I've spent a ton of time in Hong Kong over the years of my career. I sort of began in by programming the now very well-known Midnight Madness section in Toronto, which was actually probably half Hong Kong films at the beginning, because it was the sort of the beginning, the sort of great moment of the wuxia war swordplay movies. And we just showed a lot of those, like Chinese Ghost Story and Swordsman and things like that. And then because of that interest, I ended up becoming the programmer of Asian cinema in Toronto at the Toronto Film Festival as the Asian cinema was rising. So I was in Hong Kong constantly during that time, not only for the Hong Kong films, but it was actually the conduit to see films being made in China that didn't have permits at that time, which were the most interesting movies being made during that transitional moment.
For any of our international listeners who are not from this region and who would like to know maybe a little bit more about Chinese cinema, and given the fact that you're here as a member of a jury that focuses on Chinese cinema, if you could maybe come up with a definition for it, what would it be? Now, this is for someone who is not from the region.
It's a really interesting question, because I think that just the words Chinese cinema is very contentious, because there's been films that have been made on the mainland from the earliest days of cinema. I mean, the Lumiere brothers actually came to Beijing very, very early on in the process, and so cinema began in China in 1908, 1909. Like, it was very, very early when it started, and had one of the big industries in the world prior to the sort of political upheavals in the 1930s and 1940s here. And then it kind of shifted around the region. So you had, like, great cinema happening in Hong Kong for a while, and then Taiwan really took over for many years. There was stuff happening in Singapore at the same time as Hong Kong. All Chinese language, all kind of Chinese, Han Chinese kind of makers and stars. And so because of that sort of diasporic influence, in a way, when the mainland kind of came back on track, if you will, after the end of the Cultural Revolution, there was kind of a sense of, okay, maybe things will all come together into one whole. What's been kind of great about Chinese cinema is it never really has. It's always had these distinctive regional flavors, a lot like Chinese food. You know, it's like there's Sichuan food, there's Northern food, there's Cantonese food, and they're connected by certain themes, you know, but they're actually very different once they hit your palate. And I think that's a good metaphor for these kinds of movies. So there's certain themes like family and the dedication to family, the challenges of the tightness of the family unit. There's this sort of idea about displacement. China's very full, and so there's always someone losing and someone winning in terms of space, whether it's their personal space or the places that they live. And then the kind of big philosophical thing, which is in all the Chinese arts, but in film as well, is this idea of looking inwards and looking outwards. They actually have specific phrases, hai pai and jiang pai. And Beijing was always associated with the looking inwards, and Shanghai was always associated with looking outwards, you know, in the old days. And then that's continued, I think, in the cinemas from all over the various Chinas. So, I mean, even today we kind of see it in movies that really are made only for the mainland, you know, and, you know, are about specific references and specific things that are happening there. Then films that can travel, you know, that have the ability for audiences outside of China to really understand what's going on. So I think those tensions and those themes are probably the ones that make the most sense when we're talking about Chinese cinema, but probably it's the best thing about this cinema is that it's unpredictable and a little bit undefinable.
I think that was the most amazing answer to my question that I could have possibly hoped for, because you went from the Lumiere brothers to modern day. And
this is some of the greatest cinema ever made. Right. And because of the political divisions and because of the turmoil, whatever, I think people don't see it as being a sort of unified cinema. But I mean, God, just think about it, you know, the sort of the masterpieces we know from different genres and sort of different eras and what it kind of represents even in world history, that films were being made and thought about in these moments when history was literally changing for ways that, you know, we're still dealing with.
Absolutely. And I don't want to get into too much of what's going on here right now, because obviously you can't tell me anything yet about the competition and so, and you know, in detail, but would you say that the quality of whatever you've watched so far has been good?
Oh, of course, yeah. No, the programming team here is really top-notch. I'm a little bit partisan because Giovanna Fulvey, who works with Mike Goodrich, the head of the festival, to program the new Chinese cinema section, is the Asian cinema programmer in Toronto, and I hired her there when I was the co-director of the Toronto Film Festival, so she's kind of a hometown girl. But her reputation as being one which really kind of reflects, I think, the ethos of the Toronto Film Festival, but also, I think, really connects to Chinese cinema intelligently, which is that she always likes to see a balance between, okay, what is going to be interesting to people, you know, of Chinese origin, you know, whether they're living in China or abroad, on one side, and then, like, what's going to be interesting to people who don't know a lot about China or not don't know about a lot about Chinese culture and Chinese cinema. Which is actually the balance of many of our biggest cities, where there's huge Chinese populations, and but also the children of some of those populations who might not know actually some of the same cultural moments of cultural importance that some of these films will deal with. So it's actually a great selection because it ranges from pretty deep, you know, kind of mainland, like absolutely like current and present work, to kind of more ethereal historical films, to films from the diaspora. There's a film in it from New York City, an American Independent, that sort of deals with the experience of a grandma in Chinatown. And so that breadth, I think, is great, and it's actually the sort of the purpose of a festival like Macau, which also sort of sits, you know, somewhat uneasily, you know, on the corner of China, you know, and is facing out to the rest of the world. And so using Macau and the film festival here as kind of a broadcast booth for Chinese culture, I think, is just a wonderful idea, and actually broadcasting it in many languages, if you will.
Where time is moving very quickly, so but I wanted to make sure that we mentioned something about SF film and your time there. But it was actually, you know, me reading from afar, because I've never been to San Francisco. It's a very...
You should go.
Right, I should, yeah. San Francisco, yeah, I read about the things that were happening there over the past few years, and there's been a lot of change while you were artistic director there, right? What would you say about your time there? It was quite intense.
I was actually the executive director during my time there, so I was sort of overseeing different aspects.
I said artistic director. Right?
Yeah, no, it's cool. The artistic director is this extraordinary woman named Rachel Rosen, who is, you know, I think one of the great goddesses of independent film curation, and so I'm very happy to be confused with her. But what we worked on together a lot of the time was SF Film, which is the parent organization, is very unusual in that it has a almost perfectly balanced sort of film festival, film screening program that happens all year long, and an artist development program of some depth and substance. It's no mystery that the Bay Area, the area around San Francisco, is extremely wealthy, and it's also very adventurous and curious about new things and trying out new ideas. And so we were able to actually harness a lot of new money and a lot of enthusiasm to try some new things in terms of how films get made, how artists become better, different kinds of granting programs and residency programs that hadn't been tried yet. And, you know, honestly, it was pretty successful. Like, we were able to get a lot of films that were pretty unusual made, whether it was Boots Riley's Sorry to Bother You or Joe Talbot's Last Black Man in San Francisco. And early success was, you know, he's gone on to much more important things, I think, now, but Ryan Coogler and his film Fruitvale Station. And so the kind of investment in new talent that was actually trying to do new, interesting, and creative things kind of in a multiplicity of voices was something that sat very well in that environment, and I think has really resonated with people around the world, and we're really proud of that.
I read that you studied philosophy in university.
That is true.
Can you tell me how you feel that has somehow, you know, influenced your journey?
That's a great question. It's funny, something that I don't know if I've ever been asked before.
I loved studying philosophy because I love unpacking puzzles. Most of your work studying philosophy isn't actually like looking up in the sky and thinking about whether God exists. It's actually looking at texts by incredibly smart people and trying to unpack them and trying to figure out what they were actually trying to get at. You know, what does Plato mean when he said, you know, he talks about the cave? You know, what is Kant talking about when he's talking about metaphysics? You know, these are like the biggest brains of all time. And, you know, that language doesn't always translate. So I think that like that's actually been the role that I've been most proud of as a sort of a curator, as a programmer, which is sort of trying to translate a little bit of the thinking, of the ideas of filmmakers in a way that actually I hope can create some enthusiasm for people who might not necessarily take a chance on, say, a Chinese film, or take a chance on you know, a film from the Middle East, or a film you know, made in a sort of different ethnic community, even within their own country, and contextualize it in a way where someone can understand it and digest it and feel as though, feel safe entering the cinema to actually go see it. And that's the fun part of watching movies, right, is being able to talk about them afterwards in a way that maybe can communicate your own enthusiasm and excitement about them.
Almost being a mediator, in a sense.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's like... you know, I think art speaks for itself, and I think, you know, for most people, I think it's something that they just want to go into and, like, just feel. But there are a lot of other people who like to have a little bit of help expanding their horizons.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I think festivals, really good festivals like this one in Macau, really come in handy, because I just think they give a something between an excuse and a kind of like a little bit of a nudge into the direction of artistic exploration.
Thanks very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
It was great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.